And welcome back to another episode of Learn with Dr. G. That's me. Today, I am really excited because I have a special guest on my show to talk about some of the things that is often missed when we're learning about software development. So stick around if you want to hear more. Awesome. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm living the dream. I'm trapped in my home just like everyone else, but at least we get to connect over video.
Exactly. I love that. Actually, you know, as a remote employee, sometimes I feel a little bit more connected right now with my fellow employees now that we're all kind of on this video. Thank you so much for joining me, everyone. If you don't know already, this is Scott Hanselman, and he is a huge advocate for folks who are learning about tech, who are learning about coding, who are learning about software. Do you want to give an intro to yourself?
Yeah, so I've been doing programming now for almost 30 years, and I realized that there's all kinds of privileges, all kind of like little plus ones that I got. My dad sold our van. We had two cars and he sold one of them in order to get me a Commodore 64. So I had context about computers from, you know, age 12, you know, and this is in the early 80s, trying to compete with someone who's coming into like a 4-year degree when someone else had a computer in their home for 10 years is a thing. I also came up in a non-traditional background and was the first person to kind of go to college, and even then only went to a community college. So there's also disparity between who goes to community college, who goes to state school, who goes to a fancy Ivy League school. And when we eventually do get there, mm-hmm. whether it's our first entree into software engineering or whether we've had 10 years and an engineer parent to break us in, we start learning about data structures and algorithms and order N and factory map patterns and all that kind of stuff. And there's just a lot of assumptions. Yeah. And I've met web developers who are great web developers, but maybe they don't know what DNS is or why it is or TCP/IP. It's kind of like, hey, you're a race car driver. You're a wonderful race car driver, and I respect you for it. But do you know how the engine works? Mm-hmm. You know, like the concepts of internal combustion. Now, I'm not saying that makes them necessarily better. It just makes mm-hmm. them different. It's yep. nice to have the context, you know? Like when I think about learning to code, I pull out the syntax part of it and I think about learning to think about systems. Yep. I like to give the example of the toaster. I think you and I have talked about this, where, hey, my toaster doesn't work. Is there power? Do the neighbors have power? You know, like there's so many different things that are involved in order to make that thing, that piece of toast pop out. Yep. And if you don't know that, then you're just going to end up buying a new toaster and that's wasteful.
Yep. Yeah. And it's one of the reasons I love just chatting with Scott and also, you know, teaching with him is that I have a similar but completely different background, especially as it relates to tech, where I did not discover coding or software. And I could like check my email and like 20% of the time make a chart in Excel. That's like the extent of my tech skills until I got to college and took my first CS course just out of the blue and still had no clue what I was doing, but fell in love with the ability to figure it out and the community that I was lucky enough to encounter at my school, but that we don't often encounter whether you're out of school or not. And that's what kind of gave me my passion to make it more inclusive, to enter into this, you know, industry and to learn more and take advantage. And to your point, Scott, you know, my 3-year-old is building Scratch projects right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was maybe doing the equivalent when I was 19 years old. And so, you know, it's not necessarily about age. It's often about the accessibility and the just, you know, understanding in the community.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about some new Microsoft Learn modules that are mm-hmm. touching on that. But one of the actual inspirations to these and one of the reasons I wanted to do these video series is because you actually have a similar set of videos up on YouTube, right?
In fact, I'm trying to think about how I could be more welcoming and kind of smooth the on-ramp into text and into tech to continue using my car based analogies, right? You know, like you learn how to drive in the parking lot, and then you want to get on the freeway, and then you start to slowly get on the on ramp mm-hmm. as you get up to full speed. So I made a YouTube called Computer Stuff They Didn't Teach You. And I actually have an alias. If you go to computerstuffthedidn'tteachyou.com, awesome. It will redirect you to my YouTube playlist, which I've actually got up on my screen right here.
Awesome.
And this is part of my larger YouTube, but it's got, you know, kind of fun and interesting questions like, you know, what's a carriage and who's feeding it lines? So to give you a little context about carriage return line feed, which is a thing that people just take for granted.
Yep.
We talk about code pages, character encoding, basic text editing. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't a how to use a text editor class in university.
Yeah, no, we definitely like learned it along the way. But to your point, there were a lot of assumptions that were made.
Indeed, indeed. I've also seen a million different ways to learn Git. But I have enough ego that I like my version better. So I went and I did a Git basics that I think is actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
Another one I'm pretty proud of, which I think doesn't suck, is explaining containers. You know, mm-hmm. I think that, computer science education in university tends to lag by 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, but I'm guessing that there's not a lot of Kubernetes in university right now.
Yeah, I think it's just starting to kind of enter it, but I completely agree. It's tech moves so quickly that what is needed to know in terms of kind of your environment and your tools and your setup often changes really rapidly. And especially if you're switching between languages or applications or operating systems or things like that.
Yep, totally hear you. So making this thing here has allowed me to have an outlet to teach. It's free. It's on YouTube. You can check it out. And then I also recently started a TikTok because the kids love TikTok, right? And this has been surprisingly creative. I was a little stressed out last week, so I got off Twitter and I joined this community. And in just a couple of days, I racked up a good number of followers and likes, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'm answering questions that I don't see getting answered, like how do you stay motivated? What's it mean to master a programming language and things mm-hmm. like that? So a lot of content got made in just just a couple, 3 days, eh?
Yeah, I love it. It's, you know, I loved the conversation that resulted from that one of your TikToks on Twitter with regarding to like, what does it mean to be an expert in a language? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So there was a person who said, and it was a totally harmless question, so I'm not dunking on that person in any way. They were saying, let me see if I can find it. It was just a couple of days ago. They were saying, what's the best way to master a language? Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't actually answer the actual question, which is, you know, structured learning. I'll do another one on that. But I talked about the idea of what does it mean to really be a master of something or have mastery over something? Someone had suggested, well, the creator of the language must be an expert. So I asked Guido, who made Python, if he felt like he was a master of Python. And he said, I get surprised by Python every day.
Yep.
That's a very kind of Zen sensei thing to say. But as with all good Zen sensei things, it's totally right on, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, that's, you know, I'm alluding to this. This is going to be the start to a series that I'm going to do on the Learn with Dr. G show around these more just entry level concepts. And I don't mean entry level as in, you know, you have to learn these first, but rather to Scott's point, like understanding the system around for which you're kind of building software and code. And the fact that the learning never stops, that even if you are the person who designed and wrote the language, that you can still be surprised by things, I think is a really important thing to remember as you're starting on your developer journey, mm-hmm. that it's a journey and it's meant to just kind of learn. Yeah. And you know, I did want to say another thing. So you mentioned that you did a YouTube video on an intro to Git, even though there's a million and one other ones out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to show something too. I've also done a couple of TikToks around some code stuff. This was quite a while ago, but I was doing some, you know, very simple getting started on GitHub by contributing to an open source project, or creating a README for your GitHub profile, or creating a new repository on GitHub. And, you know, my intention here wasn't because I thought, oh, this stuff doesn't exist, or, you know, I need to be the one to say it. But the neat thing about developing content is that, number one, you're learning it yourself, like you're reinforcing that learning. And number two, someone might find yours first and it might be helpful. You might have put the right keyword in, the right title, you just might be on their stream that day. And so even if other ones exist, yours can still be helpful to even one person or thousands of people.
That is important.
And one of the videos that I'm going to do later on in this series is an intro to Git, because we do have an intro to Git learn module that talks about what is version control, what are some basic Git commands, how do you make and track changes. And yes, there are a million and one other free, this is also free, you know, resources out there. But the goal is use the resources that are most useful for you on the mediums that are most useful for you with the people that most resonate with you. I think that's kind of the best way to learn.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people out there, particularly because there's so many people in tech. I'm actually having a low-key, lowercase a argument with someone on Twitter right now who's saying, well, you're famous, Scott, then you get away with this and you get away with that. The point I'm trying to make is that, yeah, I got here first. I've been doing this for a long time, but negativity towards my content 30 years ago would have kept me from getting to this point. So let's try to bring positivity. So if someone who is 19 or 14 does an intro to Python, I want to read it, because it's not the definitive intro to Python. It's their experience with Python. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I want to get their journey. That part is unique. There's been a million Python things. I want to hear Scott's impression, Dr. G's impression of Python as a first-time learner.
Exactly.
Your journey is valid, and that's what we should not. And then, of course, we want to come to them with positivity and constructive
criticism. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think that's really what this is about. So whether you're coming from some formal education, or you are in an informal learning space and teaching yourself, or teaching, you know, learning with others, I hope that what we're going to talk about in this series, resources that Scott and I are making on the side, just kind of any of these resources are going to be helpful for you on your journey. And if you have any requests for topics that you find interesting, you can feel free to reach out to us either in comments or on Twitter and let us know. I think learning together, building together, and exploring together is really what tech and our community that we want to have is all about.
If I may add one more thing that I think is worth pointing out that you kind of just casually threw out, like on the side, it is not my job to make TikToks. It is not even really your job to make these videos, nor is it mine. YouTube is my side thing. Now, you don't have to have a side hustle. If you're learning to code, don't go and say, oh, if I want to be like Dr. G, I need a Twitter and a Facebook and a GitHub and a da 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 da. We're doing this because we are just overflowing with excitement that you are here.
Yes.
I want you to be a programmer. I want you to be excited. I want you to be welcomed.
Yes.
This is all us goofing around on the side when the kids are asleep.
Yes, 100%. Thank you so much, Scott, for saying that, because one of the biggest pieces of advice that I have, particularly for folks who are taking some kind of course, whether it's a formal university or anything, any kind of course, is you don't have to also do a side project. You can take the project that was an assignment and you can just do one step further, or just think about it in a different way, or just kind of test it out in a different way. And that in itself is unique. And that in itself is more that you're learning, and you don't have to go create a whole open source project or a YouTube channel or anything like that. Engage with the community in the way that you want to. Spend time in the way that you want to. Your journey is yours, and I'm excited if I'm a part of it, and I'm sure Scott is too.
Absolutely. Oh, as we get ready to go, did you see this?
I love it. There's always something new.
Jennifer Fox came up with this idea. We got a giant button from Adafruit inside of a box. And inside it is a CircuitPython Express, it's a giant mute button for Teams and Zoom.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it.
That's fun. I just put it in a box, right? That's fun tech stuff. It's plugged in and basically it's a giant red hotkey. Let me unplug it here. And it's a Adafruit Circuit Playground Express.
I love it.
I have to rehook it up. And it's actually hooked up with alligator clips.
Yeah.
So it didn't even require any soldering.
I love it. That is awesome. Oh, I'm very excited. In the future, I'll be doing some additional DIYs. I've got some plans up my sleeve with some friends and taking some existing just fun stuff around the house and making them more useful for me. And I love that every time I get a chance to chat with Scott, there's always a new thing. And that's part of my inspiration for doing mine too. So thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for joining us. As always, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at Dr. Guthels, hashtag Learn with Dr. G. Be sure to check out all of the other videos either on live stream or pre-recorded at aka.ms/learnwithdrg. And until next time, I will see you all and happy coding. Bye.